Joining us now, the voice of the Browns, Jim Donovan. Jim, we've had a chance now to digest this draft, and let's get into it now. From a big picture perspective, not a lot of players, and in fact, when you really break it down, two perhaps see the field for the Browns in some meaningful way this season. I'm not sure that's necessarily a huge negative as long as Barkevious Mingo and Leon McFadden do make a strong contribution.
Absolutely, Vic. It will be very critical, and I know the Browns were very excited to get both of them at the particular spots in the draft that they were able to do that. So that will be a key to them, and they are both in positions of need. The Browns need an outside linebacker, and Mingo's going to have to learn all the traits of doing that. And definitely they needed some help at corner, and so McFadden walks into a perfect situation here. And I liked all of the pre-draft build-up to what they saw in him to make him right for this situation. San Diego State, come out of a passing conference, a kid that was a receiver when he went there and then got converted to defensive back when they said to him, quickest way to get on the field and play is to go on the other side and become a defensive back. A heavy endorsement from Brian Sipe, who's the quarterback coach out at San Diego State, who said the kid was a nuisance when they were trying to, you know, build up their own quarterback's confidence. So if you got those two guys on the field, keep in mind now that out of last year's draft, you ended up with a ton of guys out on the field. And all of those guys are only going into their second year. So it's not like you were completely, you know, going to have to hit on six or seven guys here. And hopefully down the road now this thing pays off. But I definitely think you nailed it. Keep in mind, too, and I know it's hard to keep pushing this into your mind, but Gordon really represents the second-round pick in this year's draft, and he would have definitely, with this crew of receivers that came out this year, Vic, he would have been the best receiver coming out. I mean, he's better than Tavon Austin. He's better than the kid from Tennessee.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's better than all those kids. So, I mean, if you just take Mingo and you take McFadden, and if they can get on the field and play – well, now you've had a pretty good draft, I would say.
Yeah, the net of bodies, say, from the draft, from the 2013 draft, should include Gordon, as you mentioned, and it's also got to include Devon Best.
True.
So it's really two receivers because he was part of that Miami trade, and that's how the Browns are looking at it, and they should as a complete picture. So it really is four guys that you figure will have some kind of a significant starting or regular role. And then the other thing, if it works out with a Jamora Slaughter, that he can get on the field in some way, shape, or form coming back from that Achilles surgery, that's going to be a hard thing, the Notre Dame safety. I thought he was an interesting pick, kind of the ideal sixth-round pick, because if it works out fine, you're taking a chance, but you're not taking a huge chance there.
Yeah, right. And the other thing about him is if you go into his background at Notre Dame, they did a lot of things with him. I mean, he was a safety. He could come up and play on the corner. He could come up and play inside. And especially when Notre Dame needed him a great deal in those games that they played against service academies who come in and run, you know, that wishbone veer option offense that they don't get a chance to see all year long except the times that they play those schools, they would use him really as a linebacker that would find the ball. I mean, so he did a lot of interesting things. The same way I'm sure Mingo did at LSU, and they kind of changed his role this last year at LSU, and he was all over the place to get him into the backfield. I think Slaughter, once he's healthy, seems to be the kind of kid that could do a lot of different things for you. And in the secondary nowadays, that is so important because there are so many guys up towards the line of scrimmage rather than back deeper in the other half of the field.
But it raises some questions as to how the Browns are going to proceed at safety, with the assumption here that they took what they considered their, quote, best shot at it in the draft. And by best shot, I didn't necessarily think they were going to go for a starter quality guy, draft a guy high enough that you would pencil him in or earmark him for that, but somebody who would be in the mix. And again, not really sure what Slaughter's role is for this year. Maybe it's more of a 2014 thing. So that leaves us to talk about guys like Tayshaun Gibson. Leaves us to talk about a guy like Eric Hegg.
Right.
I mean, do they have in those players someone that can develop truly into a reliable counterpart to T.J. Ward?
Well, and the if you remember at this time last year, Vic, Eric Hegg, it was his job. I mean, he went into training camp as the guy. Usama Young was on the outside really trying to get on the field, first of all, health-wise, and then to beat Hegg out. But Hegg had played pretty well in the last couple of games of his rookie year, and he certainly walked into training camp last year as the guy that, you know, all he had to do was play well in the preseason. he was okay in the preseason, but he was not good in the early part of the year. And remember then, it came to a point where he was not even dressing.
Right.
He was not even active on Sundays. Gibson was a kid that really popped out, and Browns fans remember this. David Sims had a phenomenal training camp and preseason last year for the Browns. He made big plays. And when the final cut came up and the Browns then traded him to the Eagles, and they did that because they felt they could do it, but they also felt comfortable that Gibson had played so well that they afforded the open roster spot to him. I never thought Gibson ever looked bad out on the field. I thought he was extremely intelligent. I thought he was very physical. I didn't think he was shy or bashful at all. I thought he was very good. So, I mean, I hope he does very well because he's a nice kid. I mean, he's a terrific kid to talk to. And he's earned his way into the NFL the hard way. And he's one of those great stories that maybe he can go alongside T.J. Ward.
Yeah, he's a hard worker.
Really
He's instinctive. And I think that's the key, too, is that wherever the ball is, you find him nearby. Maybe not the best athlete in the world, but he's certainly good enough with his anticipation skills to be where the ball is.
Yeah, and so if I'm Eric Hag now, I mean, you've gotten a little bit of a reprieve here because they did draft a safety, but the kid looks like it's going to take some time before he can come back from an Achilles injury. Then I've gotten a second life here now, and I got to really commit and play and make some plays early to catch the people's eyes and build up the confidence in a new coaching staff.
Yeah, no surprise. I've seen him around the building in Berea working at it. Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Jim, as we look at this draft, too, from the standpoint of, okay, what others have said about the Browns draft, and particularly focusing on Barkevious Mingo, some talk about the size or lack thereof, the fact that he weighs only 237. How much more weight can he gain and still be an effective guy is going to be a question. And, you know, I've heard the ranges. Some have told me you could get a guy like that, God, close to 250 pounds. And I hear that and I say, that's a lot of weight.
That is a lot of weight.
And that's transformative. That's a different looking guy when it's all said and done. And does he move as well?
Yeah.
Is he as explosive off the ball? Others tell me you really look realistically at a consistent maybe 5 or more pounds that a player can hang on to, especially when he's prone to dropping that weight. That would be the issue, is keeping weight on with his metabolism and such is likely a challenge for Mingo.
Yeah, I think so, Vic, because I think he put on 15 pounds from the end of his college season, and as he prepared for the offseason and his combine workouts and things like that, I think he did add some weight, but then he's lost some of that weight again. And I think he might just have one of those bodies that he's going to play a little wiry. Now, the other big question is, it's fine to say, everybody say, let's fill him out a little bit and let's put some weight on him. And as you've alluded to right here, that's a tricky equation that you're going to do. Because if you put weight on him in the range of 8 to 10 pounds, is he the same player that flashed at you when you popped in that tape and watched him at LSU? And you have to wonder about that, too. And maybe this is the new kind of body at that position in today's NFL.
It might be in the 3-4, because we had once thought of it, and I think this was really a Bill Parcells, Bill Belichick thing, as the bigger guys at outside
Willie
linebacker.
Willie McGinnis, people like that.
That basically they
Lawrence
look like
Taylor, you know,
look like guys that could put their hand in the dirt, and you would say, okay, that's a defensive end body as well as an outside linebacker body. But you're right, maybe this is much more of the prototype, and speed is a big premium in Ray Horton's defense, movement. And the other issue, and I don't know that this is going to be a serious problem if he's roughly at the same athletic explosiveness that he is now, is coverage. Those who I've talked with talk about his basketball background as being a plus in his ability to kind of match up in coverage, to position his body well, to kind of know how to time jumps and all those things that a guy does when he's covering a receiver.
Yeah, and that will be a huge part of his game and how quickly he can do that. And some never do it. I mean, some never do it. I always thought that, you know, coming out of Florida State, Cameron Wimbley was an explosive, exciting athlete. And he never could really, you know, figure that part of the game out when they put him out there on the corner, on the outside edge there, to be an outside linebacker. Now, tell him to go get the quarterback, and, you know, destination was there, and he was going to do it, and he was going to get there, and he was going to get there pretty quickly. But when you had to drop him, I mean, it seems as though he, and I'm not saying Mingo will have this problem, but a lot of guys at this level then think too much. And the, thinking slows down their natural speed.
Yeah, thinking instead of reacting. With Leon McFadden, the best thing I've heard in the last couple of days is that some people, these are objective observers, dispassionate observers, had a second-round grade on him, said he legitimately could have been taken in the second round, and that the Browns, to a certain degree, even though it was one round later, got maybe a steal, maybe in the third round, in a player that teams shied away from, likely because of his height or lack thereof, just under 5'10", not ideal. But he's 193, very solid there, and he's really sharp with techniques, which is, I think, where you can help make up for the fact that you're giving away some height covering some of those bigger receivers.
Yeah, and when we had a chance to meet him on Saturday, he just seems like a kid that he's got the right temperament to be a cornerback. I mean, I don't think he's got fear. Joe Hayden doesn't have any fear. This guy doesn't have any fear. I don't think Buster Skrine has fear. But this kid is probably going to, you know, he's going to fight the same battle that a Buster Skrine does, and Hayden, for that matter, is that, you know, they fight the height battle a little bit now in the NFL, and these guys are big in the NFL. A.J. Green's a big guy. Anquan Boldin's a big guy. There are big receivers all around the place. Josh Gordon's a big guy. So I think that he'll fight that. But there was something about him that I really liked. I mean, he just
his
had
presence.
He just had a real presence, you're right, and a real temperament that's what a cornerback needs to have, that he doesn't fear it. Throw at him, and you know, you may get him a couple of times, but he's probably going to get you at some point in the afternoon too. And I think you're right, the 192 193, I don't think he shies away from contact, and that's the key thing, don't you think?
Yeah,
I mean, nowadays
guys
have to want to tackle.
They have to want to tackle, and look, they only get 5 yards and depending on how much press coverage there is and bump coverage there is, to knock a guy off his route, you better be able to physically do that. So he's built to do that, and that is an important thing considering how many timing routes you're dealing with in the NFL.
Plus, here's the other thing, folks. He's played a lot. He's played a lot of games in college. I mean, he went there. He made the switch over to defense. He's just played a ton of football, and they throw the ball out there. And I mean, and they throw at San Diego State at practice. They throw the ball a lot because that's what they do.
Right.
So I mean, he's well versed in what they're going to do. It's like the old argument when you draft a wide receiver out of Georgia Tech, and you'd say, well, I mean, he had 12 catches last year because Georgia Tech runs the ball. I mean, this kid, he sees the ball up in the air. He's been around it all the time. And the fact of the matter is he played a lot, and I think that helps a great deal.
And, Jim, here's another thing that I think is going to help a lot. Kid's smart. He tested well on the Wunderlich, from what I understand from a league source, which is important only in this sense. I know when we're talking about a corner, we're talking about any football-playing spot, it's about running. It's about being an athlete. All those things better. You better have those first before you do well on this test. But the test, I think, matters, or at least the indication of intelligence matters, because of the challenges that are there as a corner in Ray Horton's defense. Mm-hmm. I think this is an extremely tough defense, and I heard this from folks in Arizona, that when you put younger people out there, especially, the corners are under such duress that the blitzing and that aggressive approach from that front seven leaves those guys hanging out there. And they're not just hanging out there, okay, one-on-one cover a guy. It's zone area. You know, it's those areas that you're also responsible for, and making sure you're at point A rather than point B when the plan says you're supposed to be at point A. And otherwise, you can be embarrassed and hurt your team, defense badly. So I think it's key that you're smart, and that you talked about that demeanor thing, that's critical.
Yeah, I think that he's got a great demeanor about himself, and I think he really, you know, think about this. He was probably a great wide receiver, and he's going to go play college football, and Brady Hoke, now the Michigan coach, but at that time at San Diego State, says, hey, listen, you're a heck of an athlete, but, you know, we've got wide receivers right now. You may have to wait a couple of years. How about if you go over on the other side and do it? And he did it because he wanted to play. So he's a player. And I think he comes into a great situation because Hayden is not an old guy. I mean, Joe Hayden is still a pup. And I think that whoever it's going to be on that other side, if they're good, they got a great chance here to become a part of a real good tandem of cornerbacks. And that can take you a long way. Seattle does it. You know, the really good teams, some teams can hide it, but if you have it, it gives you so much more ammunition defensively.
No doubt. Jim, thank you so much.
Good to be with you, Vic.
He is the voice of the Browns, Jim Donovan, joining us here, as he regularly does, on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, and we have much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.